That we've been on now for, I don't know, a handful of weeks, this Together series about this covenant relationship that you and I can have with God. And this is another scripture that probably is something that you wouldn't necessarily think of when you think of our relationship as New Testament believers. But I want you to turn to Genesis 12. I'm going to read the first few verses. And then we're also going to look at the Beatitudes in the New Testament. This is the call to Abraham. Abram. And so the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I will show you." And then this is where the passage for today starts in verse 2. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Now, as we finish this series up, we've looked at our covenant relationship with God, putting our little human hand in His big divine hand, and how if we partner, if we covenant with Him, as I've said, that we can enjoy different aspects, blessings, if you. Well, as we close this series, the message this morning, I think of all the messages of this series, has more of an opportunity to impact you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even physically, than any of them up to now. And the message that I bring to you this morning as we close this series is one that the vast majority of the world does not. They do not understand. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Pay It Forward. People love the theme of that movie. It did actually very well. Do people actually do that is the greater question. And so once you and I do our part, once we come alongside God and we put our hand in His, covenant with Him, marvelous things begin to happen as we've been looking at. And this morning, in particularly, what I want to talk to you about is how you can be a blessing to other people because of this covenant relationship that you have with God. So, way back in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I'm just going to focus on this one verse because it's really what we're going to take our text from. The Lord said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and in you all the families in the earth shall be blessed." Now just look at that verse, if you've got it turned to it. I want you to note something. God tells Abraham, "I will bless you." Then, note, you go a half line over, "so." Abraham, I will bless you, so, here's the punchline, here's the reason why, the next phrase, "you shall be a blessing." So you see, in God's covenant with Abraham, you see it on your outline if you've got it sit next to the text there. First, God says, "I want to be a blessing to Abraham." But then He turns right around and says, "Because of this, Abraham, you are going to be a blessing to others." So we're going to see in a moment how this covenant with God that Abraham established, how all the way back to this Abrahamic covenant, it goes completely forward to today, to the new covenant, the New Testament, what we just celebrated, this new agreement that Christ established with us at the Last Supper. And so God did great things for the descendants of Abraham. And these were the results of this covenant relationship. And so, go all the way back, the children of Israel are in captivity, you remember, they're in Egypt. God walks alongside and He comes and He says this to them, "I'm going to deliver you from the hard heart and hand of Pharaoh. And I'm going to take you from this captivity, this slavery, and I'm going to take you to a promised land." And then you've seen the movie, the plagues, the Red Sea, all of a sudden the children of Israel, they're taken out of this situation, this terrible bondage and slavery, and they start this journey into what God has for them as a set apart, special people, his people. Now, why did God do that? Do you ever think all the way back to that? Why did God do this for the Jews to set them apart as a special people, his people, a special nation? Why did he do it to begin with? Here's what I believe. So that all the other nations of the world that they would come in contact with would see that the one true and living God not only is alive and cared for and freed his people, but also blessed them in a tremendous way, so much so that other nations would see and they would hopefully in turn come to God. That's what I believe. Now the problem with this whole relationship, because you know how the story goes, the problem with the whole relationship that God and his people had was not with God. The problem wasn't God's blessing, because he did just what he promised he would do in the covenant. The problem was with the children of Israel, the people themselves, their incredible selfishness, their ingratitude, murmuring, complaining, going after other gods, going after other nations. So how God wanted to bless them so that other nations would see that they are the special people of the one true and living God, so they may turn and come to him. The problem with that whole deal wasn't God, it was with the people. So he was giving them, he was allowing them, he was blessing them. And instead of being this peculiar, blessed, set apart, wonderful nation that were taking all the good things that God was giving them and being blessed so much that others took notice of it, that would then allow them, the Jews, God's people, to be a blessing to others. Instead of that taking place, his special people were greedy and ungrateful and selfish and pretty soon lost their identity and the beauty that God intended for them to have as his people. And folks, do you think there's any parallel between that and us today in this new covenant relationship? Now go back to the old covenant. Take some of the great stories we love in the Bible. Why was David there in the pages of Scripture killing Goliath? So that the Philistines would see that the God of Israel was a great God and hopefully would turn to him and worship him. Daniel in the lion's den. Why did God shut the mouths of the lions and spare those individuals, as King Darius said, so that every knee in that nation would bow to the God of Daniel? You see, throughout the Old Testament, how God works in this is God wants to be a blessing for his people so that they could in turn be a blessing to others. It started with Abraham. He wanted that with his people. And still through the new covenant, he wants it with us today. And I find this is a principle after 20 years in the ministry that is almost lost in the Christian community. I find most Christians that I've come across could better be described, instead of givers of that blessing so that they bless others, I find most of them are hoarders and soakers and sponges, and they want to grab a hold of God's blessing and keep it and hoard it for themselves, and then they wonder why the blessing doesn't continue, and it's because God says that's not how it works. From the beginning all the way through now, what I want you to do is learn to pass it on. You are being blessed because I want you to be a blessing to others. Well, let's look at the application then. Look at your outline. That Abrahamic covenant for us today, the covenant for us as the church today, I'm talking about us, Christian believers, in the new covenant. Just as God had a covenant with the children of Israel, he has, because of the Lord's Supper that we just observed, he's got a new covenant now with us, Christ's children, the body of Christ. So in Luke 22:20, We see our Lord, he has the Last Supper, you don't have to turn to it, with the disciples. It's right before Gethsemane, the trial and the cross, and if you allow me to paraphrase it, it says this. After the meal, he took another cup in his hands, then he said, "This is my blood, it's poured out for you," and with it, God makes his new agreement. And so, Jesus sat down with his disciples, those closest to him, and something special happened at that point with the taking of the bread and cup, just like we observed in our Lord's Supper, our communion time together. God ushered in this new agreement that Jesus was talking about that he would fulfill on the cross. And so that old covenant with Abraham became something of the past. And then God made this new covenant with us, with the church today, through Jesus Christ. And look at number two. Then the second application of this covenant of today is this covenant is for us to pass on to others. So when God gives us these promises, like he gave to Abraham, that he tested with Isaac, that Jesus gave to his disciples, that he still promises us today, he does so with the intent that you are to be my special people, my called out ones, and I am going to bless you as I talk about in the pages of my word. And the reason that I do that is I want you to pass it on to others. You see it in your outline there. Top line blessing. God says this, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. You have the very name of Christ. The bottom line responsibility is for us. So you shall be a blessing. Now, folks, if I stopped right now and I said, how many of us want to receive blessings from God? Every one of our hands would go up. I have no doubt about that. We want God to bless our families, to bless our children, to bless our health, bless us financially in every way. And God wants to do that. We've looked at plenty of scriptures where God says, I will do this. But let me tell you something. You and I are responsible for what God has given to us to pass it on to other people. Luke 6, 12, 13. About that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray. He spent the whole night there. The next morning, he called his disciples together. He chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Why did he choose 12? Well, I believe he's starting a new nation. He's starting a new community. He's starting a new covenant. There were these 12 tribes in the Old Testament. So now he's got 12 followers, disciples, in this new covenant, this New Testament relationship. 3 years later, at the Last Supper, he says, I have made this new agreement with you. This new covenant relationship will now be established when I fulfill my purpose on the cross and raise to be with him. Now, turn to Luke 6. Luke 6, you know it, Sermon on the Mount. And our Lord begins to lay out all these blessings for us. And so now he's coming into the new covenant, the new agreement. And he's talking about how we, as a special people, are going to be blessed by God, and we're supposed to bless others because of it. So the Jewish people, they understood the blessings of God in a material, in a physical way. They understood that, you know, their barns would be full, their families would be blessed, and so forth. But Jesus here, in the Beatitudes, you see in your outline in Luke 20 through 49, the blessings Jesus promises is determined by our attitude. Why they're called the Beatitudes. Our blessings are determined by our attitude towards, you see in your outline there, circumstances, people, ourselves, and our attitude towards God. Now, for the purpose of finishing this series and the theme this morning, we're going to focus on our attitude towards people. Jesus says in regards to this, A, you see that, realize that some will obey and others will not. Interestingly enough, here's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in this beautiful passage, in verse 27, he starts teaching in this area, and he says this, this is what I say to all who will listen to me. Isn't that interesting? As much as I hope all of us get this biblical principle today that's very important to God, even Jesus, when he's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, I know some of us will listen and some of us won't. And I've always been amazed through 2 decades in ministry, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, as I see some people walk out with some word from God that is just going to bless their lives, and they've taken notes and they see an application for them individually, and they're going to go out and work that relationship and that word that they've grabbed a hold of and be blessed by it, God says. And I see some people that are bored and yawning and can't wait to get out of this building and leave with nothing. Same preacher, same hour, same word. That's what Jesus said. I say to all, who will listen to me? And then those people that walk out with nothing say, I wonder why God isn't blessing me. I wonder why that person or that family is blessed. And I don't seem to be as much. It's second here. Look at number B. Jesus teaches regarding our attitudes towards people. Treat others as you want to be treated. Instead of putting others in their place, put yourself in their place. Now that's known as the golden rule. You learn that as a child. Love your enemies. Be good to everyone who hates you. We can stop right there. No sense in going to the next verse till we deal with this one. Again, let me paraphrase this again. God says, do you want blessings? I've got all kinds of blessings for you, God says, in this new covenant, this new relationship. I want to bless you financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. He says, I'm ready to dump these incredible covenant relationship blessings on you. And if you want to receive it, love your enemies. Now, we could probably stop here and dismiss the service. Again. And I include myself in here. After 20 years, there are many of us who are God's children who absolutely do not walk the high road in this area. Some of us are living on the low road in comparison to what Jesus asks of us. We carry grudges. We're mad. We want to get even with somebody. We're not speaking to somebody. We've got family walls, we've got chasms, things that need to be knocked down, things that need to be asked for forgiveness for. And yet we say, I want all these blessings of God, but I can't do this love my enemy thing. Look at verse 28. Ask God to bless anyone who curses you. Try that on the freeway. Try that driving to work. Pray for everyone who is cruel to you. Do you say that? My boss is unbearable. This is not fair. They're picking on me. I think they want to fire me or get rid of me. And yet I say, God, please bless my boss. Bless his marriage. Bless his kids, his family. We say, that stuff is not possible. That is not humanly possible. Yes, it is. Quit rationalizing. Quit excusing ourselves. Jesus isn't going to tell you and I to do something that we cannot do. And if we don't live by this standard, then it has nothing to do with, I am not able to do it. It has everything to do with, I am not wanting to live it. It's your choice. Don't live the low road, folks. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Smack somebody down that smacks you. Flip somebody off that flips you off on the road. Beep at somebody back. Holler at somebody back. And then wonder, why doesn't God bless me? Why doesn't he take care of me? Why doesn't he put a hedge of protection around my family? Folks, quit wimping out and grow up. Don't walk into a church saying, why is this person or that family seem so blessed? And they seem to have a hedge of protection around them. And I can tell you why, because they made the choice in that covenant relationship, just like Jesus said, to love their enemies, to bless their enemies, and not live like the world. I don't have any enemies. But I can tell you, after 20 years of ministry, I've had a lot of people that don't like me. Can you believe that? My mother loved me. But I've had a lot of people in 20 years that don't. But do you know what you have to learn in the ministry? I learned a long time ago that you cannot use somebody else's behavior towards yourself to determine your behavior towards them. It's their problem. I have to keep on loving them. I have to keep on ministering to them. I have to keep on hugging and smiling them. I have been in churches where I know people are working behind my back to do everything they can to get me fired from that church. And like Christ, I need to love them because God loves them. They're created in His image, and I'm called to love them and bless them. So, you sit there and you say, but Pastor, you don't know what this person or that person did to me. It doesn't matter. It isn't a big deal. My issue is not what they did to you. My issue this morning is what you're doing to yourself by harboring bitterness and anger and strife. And some of us in the churches of America just need to grow up. God says, I want to bless you, but you have to live on the high road. Look at the third thing. Look at C. Jesus teaches us to give for the right reasons. Now, here's a couple wrong reasons to give. You see the verses there. First, because somebody has given to you. Listen to verse 32. If you love only somebody who loves you, will God praise you for that? Even sinners love people who love them. So, in other words, Jesus says, don't smile at them just because they smiled at you. You know, oh, they were so nice to me, so I now like them and I'll be nice to them. They complimented me, so I'll work and compliment them. He's saying even people who don't love God do that kind of thing. He says if you just return something nice for something nice that you got, that's no big deal. Christians, unbelievers do that. Another wrong reason to give, look at number two. For the praise of people. So what he's saying, it doesn't matter if it's people pressuring you or people praising you. Don't you love people? You know, you ask them out to lunch, and they say, well, yeah, I'd like to go to lunch. And you know what? I believe you bought lunch last time. I believe it was in 1976, and it was $8.32. And so, yeah, I'll take you out to lunch. I've known people like that. Folks that keep score, I don't know why they don't get tired of that. I don't know why they don't get migraine headaches trying to remember everybody that they're mad at about what. Now, here's a couple right reasons to give. Okay. First, because it's what God expects. And second, because it's what God has modeled. Now, I don't know if I have this in your outline, present value, future value, eternal value, but this is important. Some folks just live for the present value. That is the extent of their concern. All they live for is that what they're going to receive. And so they only give when they believe they're going to get something back in real time, real quick. But then there's some people that move from present value to future value, and they live not only for themselves, but they live for the next generation. You hear this in politics a lot. What are we going to leave for our children and our grandchildren? We want to establish this for those who come behind us. And so they believe they have a responsibility, not only because of today, the present, but not even that they'll receive anything from it in the present, but they want to do it for the future, for the generations to come, so that those people will be blessed. But look at this. Some people live for another kind of value, and if you allow me to say, it was the pay it forward value. The kind of people, and this is an issue that most folks don't understand, they live for eternal value. Things that will live beyond themselves, things that when they're gone with their reward, that things that maybe only God and them know about, things that maybe only God recognizes that they've done or that they've been a blessing to others, and they do that because of their focus, their covenant relationship. They do that for the eternal value. They say, God has blessed me so much, I need to be a blessing to others because there is eternal value in it. There's an eternal principle involved here. You see it in your outline there, number three. What you sow, you will reap. What you put into it, you will get out of it. So when you're getting what you don't want, when you don't get out of it what you want, it's not necessarily tough to go around wondering why. It may be, he says, because you sowed it. Jesus said in verse 37, don't judge others and God won't judge you. Don't be hard on others and God will not be hard on you, he's saying. Don't you understand how life is, Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're critical towards others, guess how God will view you. Folks, read my lips. Life is not complicated. Jesus dumbed this down for us. He wanted to give us a few principles, and he said, if you live by these principles, you'll have incredible blessings, and any person with a three-digit IQ should be able to get this. All that it involves is your will and your obedience. Watch this. He says, forgive others and God will forgive you. If you're having a hard time forgiving others, you just better talk to God about it, because Jesus said he might decide not to forgive you regarding that particular issue. God's word says, if you give to others, you'll be given the full amount in return. It will be packed down, shaken together, spilling over into your lap. That's a bunch of blessings there. The way you treat others, our Lord says, is the way that you'll be treated. Now, these studies have been done year after year after year, and I know you're aware of them and you've heard them. Here's just a couple recent ones. University of Missouri. The other one was the Institute of Health in New York City. At U of M, they found people that live the longest are the ones that are most active in helping others, and through that help, they enjoy social relationships. Study in New York, people found those who help others get what's called a helper's high, and they have significantly better health and an improved sense of well-being in their life. Now, folks, that's not the Bible. That's not Sunday school. That's not church. That's not your pastor talking. This is a bunch of medical personnel who may have no relationship with God that through scientific method are asking, why does one person live longer than another? Let's try and figure it out. Why does one seem to have better mental health than the other? Let's see what the data shows. And they conclude that people with good mental health and good physical condition are givers, and people with bad mental health and bad physical health are only takers. That people who have ulcers and stress and anxiety go through life wondering if somebody's got something they don't have and what it's going to take for them to get it. And isn't it amazing that it's a scientific community that has to come out and prove what Jesus simply said so long ago? Folks, begin to be a giver in life. Begin to be a giver. Jesus says, I want to pour out unbelievable blessings on you. I want to bless your families, your health. I want to bless you financially. But when you walk the low road, you don't meet the conditions and you're not blessable. Again, paraphrase. And anybody who's heard this message has just heard Jesus, not Mark, say, if you become a giver in your lifestyle, I will bless you, God says, unbelievably. The issue is making a choice to obey the truth and live it. And then God says, watch me bless you, because the purpose that I bless you physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, is because I want you to be a giver. I want you to pass those blessings on to others so that in hope they would turn to the one true and living God. So let me close with one question. Does your sacrifice live? Abraham built an altar and bound Isaac, his son. It's not what God wanted, not death, but a life. And Jesus says, you're in this covenant relationship with me now, and give your life, not unto death, because Christ did that, give your life unto others. Be a giver. Continually ask yourself, does my sacrifice live? Do I identify so much with Christ's death that I'm willing to sacrifice my life in living for him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray your blessings upon this congregation as we become givers. Help us, Lord. God, help us, forgive us, change us, help us to make good choices. Help us to live the high road so we can become recipients of that incredible covenant relationship that you have with us. And you want to bless us as a people so distinctly and so plentifully that others see it in us, and that in hope we can bless them by them turning to the one true and living God. Help us receive the blessings you have for us by becoming a blessing to others. And it's this that I pray, and all God's people say.